Penguin Random House Audio presents Someone Knows by Lisa Scottolini. Read for you by Ari Fliakos and Brittany Presley. To my amazing daughter, Francesca, with love. It is not your memories which haunt you. It is not what you have written down. It is what you have forgotten, what you must forget, what you must go on forgetting all your life. James Fenton, A German Requiem. Prologue. Nobody tells you that you'll do things when you're young that are so stupid, so unbelievably stupid, so horrifically stupid, that years later you won't be able to believe it. You'll be on your laptop, or reading a book, or pumping gas, and you'll find yourself shaking your head because you'll be thinking, no, 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 I did not do that. I was not a part of that. That could not have happened. You'll tell yourself that you were young, that you were drinking, that good teenagers make bad decisions all the time. But you know that's not it. You know that when teenagers get together, something dark can take over. Call it peer pressure. Call it a collective idiocy. Call it something more primal and monstrous, like whatever makes frat boys haze their so-called brothers to death. Writ large, it makes Nazis murder millions and soldiers torch Vietnamese villages. But whatever you call it, it will make you do the worst thing you ever did in your life. And in your darkest moments, you will wonder if it made you do it or simply allowed you to. You know this now, but you didn't then. And you'll shake your head thinking, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I was a part of that. But you were. And not in Nazi Germany, My Lai, or a frat house, but in the safest place you can imagine. In the suburban housing development where you grew up. Specifically, in a patch of woods mandated by township zoning, confined by fences, and bordered by the Pennsylvania Turnpike. In other words, in a completely civilized location where even nature herself is domesticated and nothing ever happens. Except this one night. You and your friends decide to play Russian roulette, a game so obviously lethal that you can't even imagine what you were thinking. Days later, years later, a decade later, it's still so unspeakable you can't say a word to anyone. And all the books you read that you should have learned something from, Lord of the Flies, A Separate Peace, and Crime and Punishment, teach you absolutely nothing. You read like a fiend, you always have, but you don't let the books teach you anything. You never apply them to your life because they're fiction, or even if they seem real, they're someone else's life, not your life. Except that you and your friends decided to play a prank and someone blew their brains out in front of you. You won't be able to remember exactly what happened because of the booze and the horror, the absolute horror. And yet you won't be able to forget it, though you'll spend night after night trying. People say something was a night to remember, but this was a night to forget, and yet you can't forget. And then you'll hear some random playlist, and Rihanna singing, "Don't Act Like You Forgot." And you'll realize you've been acting like you forgot your entire adult life. And you'll feel accused by a song, nailed by a phrase. And "Don't Act Like You Forgot" is everything. "Don't Act Like You Forgot" is all. And you'll pick up the bottle and say to yourself, I'm acting like I forgot, but I didn't. I didn't forget. And you'll need to be put out of your own misery. So you'll drink and drink, trying to drink yourself to death. But that takes too long. Years too long. Time doesn't move fast enough. You learn that the hard way. One night, you'll lose patience. Chapter 1. Allie Garvey. Allie gripped the wheel heading to the cemetery. The death was awful enough in someone so young. Agonizing because it was a suicide. The family would be anguished, racking their brains, asking why. But Allie knew why, and she wasn't the only one. There used to be four of them, and now there were three. They had kept it a secret for 20 years. She didn't know if she could keep it secret another minute. Allie drove ahead, her thoughts going back to the summer of 99. She could hear the gunshot ringing in her ears. She could see the blood. It had happened right in front of her. Her gut twisted. She felt wrung by guilt. She had nightmares and flashbacks. She'd been 15 years old, and it had been a night of firsts. First time hanging with the cool kids. First time getting drunk. First time being kissed. First time falling in love. And then the gunshot. Allie clenched the wheel, holding on for dear life, to what she didn't know. To the present, to reality, to sanity. She had to stay strong. She had to be brave. She had to do what needed to be done. She should have done it 20 years ago. She'd kept the secret all this time. She'd been living a contents-under-pressure life. Now she wanted to explode. Allie approached the cemetery entrance. She knew the others would be there. A reunion of co-conspirators. She hadn't spoken to them after what had happened. They'd had no contact since. They'd run away from each other and what they'd done. They'd thought getting caught was the worst that could happen. Allie had learned otherwise. Not getting caught was worse. They'd grown up in Brandywine Hunt, a development in a corner of Chester County, Pennsylvania, where the horse farms had been raised, the trees cleared, and the grassy hills leveled. Concrete pads had been paved for McMansions, and asphalt rolled for driveways. Thoroughbred Road had been the outermost of the development's concentric streets, and at its center were the clubhouse, pool, tennis, and basketball courts, like the prize for the successful completion of a suburban labyrinth. Allie always thought of her childhood that way, a series of passages that led her to bump into walls. Her therapist theorized it was because of her older sister, Jill, who'd had an illness that Allie had been too young to understand at first. It had sounded like sis something, which had made sense to Allie. Her sister had sis. Until one nightmarish race to the hospital, with her father driving like a madman and her mother hysterical in the back seat holding Jill, who was frantically gasping for breath, her face turning blue. Allie had watched, terrified at the realization that sis could kill her sister. And when her sister turned 17, it did. Allie bit her lip, catching sight of the wrought iron fence. Her sister was buried at the same cemetery, the grave marked by a monument sunk into the manicured grass. Its marble was rosy pink, a color Jill had picked out herself, calling it dead Barbie pink. Allie remembered that at Jill's funeral, she had cried so hard she laughed, or laughed so hard she cried. She didn't know which. Allie braked, waiting for traffic to pass so she could turn. Gardens of Peace, read the tasteful sign, and it was one of a chain of local cemeteries, fitting for a region of housing developments, as if life could be planned from birth to death. Her gut tightened again, and she focused on her breathing exercises. In and out. In and out. Yoga and meditation were no match for a guilty conscience. She hadn't fired the gun, but she was responsible. She replayed the memory at night, tortured with shame. She'd never told anyone, not even her husband. No wonder her marriage was circling the drain. Allie steered through the cemetery entrance. Pebbled gravel popped beneath the tires of her gray Audi, and she drove toward the black hearse, limos, and parked cars. Mourners were walking to the burial site, and she spotted the other two instantly. They were walking together, talking, heads down. Gorgeous, privileged, rich. The cool kids, grown up. They didn't look up or see her. They wouldn't expect her, since she hadn't been one of them, not really. They hadn't followed her life the way she'd followed theirs. She was the one looking at them, never vice versa. That's how it always is for outsiders.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?